1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Security shortcomings that led to the assassination attempt on former President Trump are in the spotlight on Capitol Hill. The acting Secret Service Director Ron Rowe testified to multiple failures and said he cannot defend why the roof from where the shooter fired was not better secured.
I went to the roof of the AGR building where the assailant fired shots, and I laid in a prone position to evaluate his line of sight. What I saw made me ashamed.
Trump has vowed to continue holding outdoor rallies. He'll campaign Saturday in Atlanta. Vice President Kamala Harris campaigning there tonight. Officials in Texas say Meta's agreed to a $1.4 billion settlement over claims it used biometric data without user permission. Meta, the parent company of Facebook. And the Labor Department showing signs of a job market slowdown as openings fell slightly last month. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Carrie Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A judge in Sturgeon Bay is dismissing a challenge to the way Wisconsin handles absentee ballot requests. The lawsuit objected to envelopes approved by the Wisconsin Elections Commission last year. The suit also sought to require written statements along with online absentee ballot requests, the ruling seen as a win for voting access. Wisconsin Democrats are urging primary voters to vote no on two proposed constitutional amendments on August 13th. They'd prevent the governor from allocating federal money for the state without approval from lawmakers. Democrats say the questions are intentionally confusing, and the amendment would slow down help in an emergency.
Critical federal emergency funds could get stuck in gridlock in Madison rather than reaching first responders and the communities that are at risk.
State Party Chair Ben Wickler. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLCX 1490 The Eagle, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Today is the start of in-person absentee voting for the August 13th primary across Wisconsin. Voters can also register in person when coming in to vote absentee. In-person absentee voting is only available at a few places in La Crosse today, including at City Hall. A full list of locations can be found on My Vote Wisconsin's website. My Vote can also help you find out more information on registration, the forms of ID you can use to vote or register to vote, and list what will be on your ballot when you are ready to go in and vote. Flooding this summer on the Mississippi and other area rivers has had a big impact on recreation, but things are almost back to normal. Waters have dropped enough that most area parks, trails, and beaches have reopened. The Mississippi itself is below 7 feet, less than half of its crest of 14.94 feet on July 2nd. All areas of Pettibone Park and Marsh Area Trails are now open, according to the La Crosse Parks, Recreation, and Forestry Department. These were the last areas that were still closed due to high waters.
The Brewers make a trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Trade deadline coming up tonight, and the Brewers sending outfielder Joey Weimer and pitcher Jacob Junis to the Reds for right-hander Frankie Montas. 9 years in the big leagues, 19 starts this year for Cincinnati, an ERA that started out at 3.56 but has risen into the fives. Meanwhile, just as the crew gets back Devin Williams as the closer, Trevor McGill goes on the 15-day IR. Manager Pat Murphy.
Breaking news, Trevor McGill on the IL. Lower back. He's been dealing with it for about 5 days. He'll get an MRI this afternoon. That's the way the cookie crumbles, man.
Brewers last night with a nice 8-3 win at home over the Braves. Home runs by Hoskins, Adames, Churio. NFL Packers back on the practice field today in Green Bay. The Badgers football team begins training camp for the next 2 weeks at UW-Platteville.
Well, I think it's first and foremost, it's about getting away. To really get them to, you know, get to know each other and a lot of things even a little deeper.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, tonight, and again tomorrow into Thursday. Otherwise, it's going to be partly cloudy, warm, and very humid. Our high today in the mid to upper 80s. Tonight, 68. Tomorrow, highs in the upper 80s to near 90 with a heat index in the mid 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 84.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll go live to the Wisconsin Public Education Network's annual Summer Summit gathering of speakers and panelists.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to the Eagle WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Tuesday, July 30th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Now 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in the capital city. Here in Madison, mostly sunny, a bit of an overcast sky, going to be humid, sultry, downright dog day-ish here in Madison. Expecting some parts of the state could get some heavy weather, particularly southwest Wisconsin is looking like, and that may move across. So next 48 hours or so, keep an eye to the sky and check your favorite weather source just to make sure. But not, it's going to be one of those situations where not everybody across the state sees severe weather, and not everybody across the state may even see a lot of rain, but those who do may see a lot, Mr. Zommers. It's one of those kind of deals.
Yes, it is. I will rely on my signature move for hot and or stormy weather and stay indoors.
You're like a bear in winter. You just hibernate in the summer.
Pretty much.
Well, good for you. To each their own. It is the 30th of July. And I want to wish a very happy birthday to the father of my godsons, Mr. Kurt D. Kohler. Absolutely.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Kurt. If not for he and his lovely wife, Florcy, doing all the hard work, I would never have two godsons. I'm just a childish cat lady, you know what I mean?
But you also don't have cats.
But I don't have cats either. But my godsons are the closest thing I'll ever have to kids. And Kurt and Florcy did all the work of, I'm not sure which work it was conceiving. That was probably more fun. But more
raising. You know.
Right. But yeah, Florcy did 9 months of nesting.
Intense.
And,
yeah.
Right. And then birthing. And then the two of them raised their fine two boys, Alex and Jason, which I get to claim as godsons and happy and honored to do so. Now, yesterday on the program, speaking of the oldest godson, Alex, he was back in town in Monroe from Indianapolis to play in the golf tournament, the Badger Ethanol Golf Tournament, which Kurt is the plant manager of. And I mentioned that Kurt is a scratch golfer. Scratch golfer.
Right, and I hadn't known what that meant.
I got a text from Kurt later on. He said, I nearly spit up my coffee when I heard you say that. Now, to me, the term means just very, very, I always thought it was very, very good. And basically, you can play close to par on the course. Not every course, but many courses. I have golfed with Kurt a lot over the years. Incidentally, Kurt used to play golf in high school against Steve Stricker. Kurt went to Spring Green, River Valley. I'm not sure where Stricker grew up, Stoughton or DeForest or something, somewhere in Dane County, I think. And back in high school, they would play golf tournaments against them. Now, Stricker beat Kurt, but they were, it was that kind of a thing. So I looked up the term. A scratch golfer is a golfer who shoots the same score as the course rating or better.
So apparently Kurtz feels he does not. I've been with him when he's shot pretty close to that.
So maybe he's sub-scratch?
Or... Well, see, I guess I didn't mean the term literally. I just meant it as a compliment that he's a very, right. very, very good golfer. And Alex's son isn't far behind, and Jason isn't far behind. It's a family of great golfers. And so when Todd goes along in the foursome, when it's Alex and Jason and Kurt and I, it's kind of like Rodney Dangerfield joining the foursome of the golf course. That it's that kind of deal because I'll hit one and I think, see, I can actually golf. And then the next shot goes 8 feet. I top it and it goes 8 feet. The next one slices, you know, way out into the woods. And then, you know, five strokes later, maybe I'll get a nice chip. Maybe once a game, I'll get a nice putt.
I've never golfed.
Really?
And, well, I mean, mini golf, but yeah. I've never golfed. I imagine I would be absolutely terrible at it. And I feel like I know what those terms mean. Mm-hmm. They're pretty self-explanatory, but I'm just going to imagine you were using cooking terms. Like, I'll top this with a nice garnish. I'll slice it in half for the presentation. Putt, I'm not sure about. But chip right. makes sense. You know, just chips, a side of
yeah.
chips.
No, they're golfing terms, and yeah, I don't think you would like it because it's very hot on the golf course a lot of times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's another
reason.
You
would not survive.
I would not do well. No, I would need to bring one of those like Camelback backpacks full
yes,
of water.
Yes, exactly.
Or hire a second, like, what's it called, caddy to just carry a bunch
See,
of
look,
water.
You don't caddy.
Get a camel.
That's
get
good.
A camel.
That's
there we
a
go.
Camel caddy. Well, happy birthday to Kurt. I'm going to see him a little bit later on tonight because the family is spread out around the world right now. And so Kurt's sitting there with Buddy the Beagle, a great old Beagle. And he loves Buddy. Nothing wrong with Buddy. But I said, we'll meet up later on and we'll go out for dinner. So I'll see Kurt later on. So happy birthday to him. And to me, you'll always be a scratch golfer, Kurt. Lots going on in the show today. Luke Mathers. The Lukester will be here at the bottom of the hour, and he'll be along with Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Tony Zimmerman, watching on YouTube, says, golfing is the most frustrating game I've ever played. I only enjoy the refreshments. Tony, I golf for the same reason I hunt, which is to be outside and enjoy the company of those I'm with. And, you know, I don't hunt as much as I used to, but when I go, I mean, if I get a turkey, I get a bird, that's fantastic. But if I don't, I really don't care. It's just the opportunity to be outside. And when I golf, if I get a decent score or a couple of decent holes, that's great. But if I don't, I just hang out with the people and like Tony says, enjoy the beverage cart. There's a cart that comes around on some courses and they bring you lovely, well, they don't bring you, you have to buy
right,
lovely
right.
overpriced beverages.
Well, of course, just like anywhere else.
right.
yeah.
But they're very nice. They're very nice, you understand. So anyway, Lukester is going to be here at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk a little. We have not talked. I'm wearing, for those on the stream, I'm wearing my Green Bay Packers polo shirt today. Have not talked about the big Jordan Love contract that much. We'll touch on that.
Big is right.
Yes, very big. We'll talk about that with Lukester. Also talk a little politics with him as well. And incidentally, just a quick footnote. I'm going to be out for the next couple of days. Nothing wrong. Everything's fine. Tomorrow, I'm going to be with our old friend Brady Ewing, who comes on the show every other Friday about. He's been doing this since almost the beginning of our show, and he does it just because he's a great guy. We don't pay him anything. So I'm taking he and his lovely family, his four boys, his wife, and his mom and dad, and we're all going down and watching the Brewer game tomorrow in the afternoon. Remember, you can listen to the Brewers on WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, WRCE in Richland Center, 98Q Country up in Park Falls, and also WRJN in Racine and Kenosha. So you can listen, if you're one of those cities, you can listen to the game tomorrow afternoon. So I will be out tomorrow. Pat Kreitlow has been so gracious as to fill in the first hour tomorrow. So you can hear Mr. Kreitlow in tomorrow's first hour. And then in tomorrow's second hour, we're going to replay that great hour last week with Trygve Olsen talking about women's health care. It was a great, great hour of radio and your calls. So that'll be hour two. So Kreitlow in hour one, a rerun with our best of, as we like to say, with Trygve Olsen tomorrow. And then on Thursday, Todd's going in for a little procedure, as they say, a little nip and tuck. After being at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, I thought I should get some work done.
I don't know if that's exactly what it is, but good for you.
No, it's not. It's not like that at all. I was born with a cleft palate and a cleft lip, and I have chronic ear problems because of that. because like your eustachian tube, which connects your ear to your throat, obviously it's not, but for dramatic effect and description, most people's eustachian tube is like the diameter of your thumb. And mine, by comparison, is like the diameter of your pinky. So anytime I get like pollen or a common cold, it just backs everything up and I get fluid. So anyway, I'm going to, Tony says, those hair extensions are going to look great. If only, Tony, if I come back with a full head of hair on Friday, you'll know it was up.
Now, here's the thing. Would you get hair extensions of or just plugs. The hair you have or plugs?
Yeah,
or implants?
Happy plugs. Implants. Yeah.
It would be funny if you just got extensions.
I don't have the money or the time or the interest. I'm losing my hair. I just got to live with it. But no, I'm having a small tube put into my ear, and they gotta knock you out because the pain is rather excruciating. So I will be under general anesthetic tomorrow. As a matter of fact, so who knows what might happen.
Or on Thursday, right?
Yes, tomorrow. Yeah, that's right. The Brewer game tomorrow. And on Thursday, I'm doing my little procedure on the ear. And then with any luck, I'll be back on Friday with an all-new, brand-new show and a brand-new ear. Just like Donald Trump.
The miracle ear.
The miracle ear. Just like the Trumpster. So that's coming. Also, coming up today, we got a little clip from Secretary Pete, was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart last night. Also, a couple more clips from Trump's speech in Minnesota over the weekend, which was just, good Lord. Do we have time for the Secretary Pete clip? Probably not. That's probably a little close right now.
Yeah, we should wait till next
time. All
right,
we'll wait till next time. Let's play the Trump one, because this is the fun one. He was on Fox News, the Trumpster was, last night, talking about how hard it is to talk to Melania about his attempted assassination. And again, that part is not funny, and we call out political violence. But the fact, well, listen for yourself. Here was Trump last night talking about discussing it with his wife on Fox News.
What was Melania's reaction, if you don't mind my asking, I know this is very personal, when she learned about what happened on that field in Butler?
She was watching.
Oh, she was watching in real time?
She was watching live. It was all over the place. It was on television, so on your network, but it was all over the place. And she was watching. I asked her that. I mean, I wasn't there. I was on the ground. And the world started to, like, you could talk to people, I said, so what was your feeling? And she can't really even talk about it.
Traumatized.
Which is okay, because that means she likes me.
She loves me. That's good.
I mean, let's say she could talk about it freely. That wouldn't be, I'm not so sure which is better. But she either likes or loves me, and that's nice. But
his wife either likes or loves him, and that's nice. I mean, for goodness sake, I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. Ask Doug Emhoff if he loves Kamala Harris. Ask Mrs. Romney if she loves Mitt Romney. Or ask Laura Bush if she loves George W. Bush. You would get an unequivocal yes.
Or some kind of joke followed by an unequivocal yes.
Sure. But the fact that Donald Trump has to go on national television and say, well, that confirms that my wife, hey, she either likes me or loves me.
She likes me. She really likes me.
I mean, if you're married to someone, I would hope that that partner both likes and loves you. That would be my hope. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you want to weigh in, come on back. We got a little Secretary Pete with Jon Stewart on The Daily Show last night. You're listening to a Tuesday Kurt Kohler edition of The Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Scratch golfer.
This is the talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/Trump Monitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Yeah, I know. How did it go?
I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
I feel fine.
Kind of felt good, didn't it?
Is this real life?
Yeah, this is real life.
Thank you. Is that a kid coming out of anesthesia there?
Yeah, that's a YouTube classic. One of the earliest viral videos called David After Dentist.
Yes, I'm going in for a little procedure on the ear on Thursday. And Andrew Main says, Mr. Zommers, are there plans to record toddles coming out of anesthesia to see what content we can add to Friday's show?
And he suggests, maybe production sister Heather can help us out, to which Heather says, Andrew, I'm all over that plan and I can make it happen.
She's not even going to be here. So, no, that's not going to happen. But I can tell you this, and this is a true story. Back in high school, I was hit by a car, which may explain a lot. But I was hit by a car. And if you ever were a fan of the old Dallas TV show, there was an episode about midway through the series in which Bobby Ewing is killed off because his ex-wife, now his fiance's sister, Catherine, hits him with a car. And he gets hit by the car and he goes up over top of the car and lands on the driveway. That is pretty much what happened to me. I was knocked unconscious, had to call the ambulance, took me to the hospital. And when I woke up, it just so happened in a small town that the general practitioner doctors take turns in the ER. And the doctor, Dr. Richard Edwards, one of the great doctors of all time, may he rest in peace, he was working the ER, and he was the doctor who was there at my birth. And here I am, whatever, 17, 18 years later, in the hospital in the ER. And I wake up, and I see him, Doc Edwards, and he says, can you tell me who you are? And I said, quote, I'm Todd Robert Allball. I'm wearing clean underwear and I'm a Republican. Those were the things that were in my subconscious that I felt I had to say after coming out of being knocked out. I had clean underwear on and I was Republican.
All the important things.
That's how ingrained it was in me, right? Of course, I left the Republican Party several years later in 2011.
Now, what do you say when you wake up?
I don't know. I guess that's Andrew's point. We don't know what Todd's going to say when he wakes up out of anesthesia. We'll see. There will not be a recording. I can promise you that. Speaking of things people are saying, Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who is still being kind of bantered as a possible, probably not near the top of the list, but I feel is still a dark horse to be the VP nominee with Kamala Harris. He was at it again last night on The Daily Show on Comedy Central, Jon Stewart in the host chair, and having a discussion and J.D. Vance, the Republican nominee for vice president, came up during the discussion. Here's Secretary Pete with Jon Stewart on The Daily Show last night.
Yeah, and I think, look, there is a temptation to have our message be entirely about Donald Trump because we're
correct.
So disturbed by what his return would mean.
Right.
And maybe a little more also about J.D. Vance because of how odd he's turned out to be.
I got to tell you, boy, did that dude drop a turd on launch. Like, I've never seen anything like that where they were like, one day they were like, the heir to the MAGA fortune and the MAGA, the Prince J.D. shall march. Yeah. And he comes out and he's like, I hate cat ladies.
You know? No, it's rough. And, you know, just like systematically insulted so many people. And it's not just the kind of things he said, but the policy ideas behind them. Like, he has this idea that you should get extra votes if you have kids.
Extra votes?
Yeah, he suggested that you should have extra votes if you're a parent.
Really?
Now, I think there's lots of things.
You don't even get that in your own house. I'm a parent. You don't get anything.
True, I'm starting to find that. I mean, ours are not yet three, but And it's rooted in this strange idea that it's not just, he doesn't just say that being a parent gives you, you know, an important role as a citizen, which I agree with, or that it gives you unique perspective on the future. It's that not being a parent makes you less. Like
I think that's absolutely how I feel.
He said, people who don't have children, this is a quote, have no physical commitment to the future of this country.
Wow.
And I just think about how, like, no physical commitment to the future. Like, when I was deployed to Afghanistan, I didn't have kids back then.
Right.
But I will tell you, especially when there was a rocket attack going on, my commitment to this country felt pretty physical.
Yeah. Can I tell you something? This is why people love seeing you go on their shows, because that framing is perfect. Because it points to that idea that who are you to tell what's in someone else's heart about what they feel about the future or what they feel about this country? And the sacrifices that you made, as you said, without having had children, were tremendous. So it's shocking. And I also have to...
Jon Stewart last night, along with Pete Buttigieg, Secretary of Transportation, on The Daily Show. He just keeps nailing it, Mr. Zommers. I mean, his ability to frame things in a way that everyday people could understand just continues to amaze me. The Democrats, in my opinion, do not have a better spokesperson nationally right now than Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, absolutely. The way that he frames it not only makes sense to the everyday American, it's short, it's pithy. It's like, I don't know, when there were rocket attacks going on, my commitment felt pretty physical. That's a great line.
And you could tell he wanted to use a different word and he held back. You know, pretty freaking or whatever, physical.
Yeah.
And he makes a great point. And this is what I think that listeners all across Wisconsin are asking themselves, because again, I believe that Wisconsinites are pretty smart people on the whole. If you have someone that served in your family in the military, who particularly served overseas, someone who was a veteran, maybe still of World War II, or Korea, or Vietnam, or Iraq, or Afghanistan, I bet you the chances that it's 50% plus one of those folks did not have children when they served. Is their commitment and sacrifice to America less than those who went and served that had kids? You know the answer is no.
Or those who didn't serve and had kids.
Sure. Those that didn't serve and didn't have kids. We're all Americans and we're sacrificing for our country. But in particular, people, and any listener who's listened to this program any amount of time knows I am a huge supporter and fan of America's veterans. Every single person who has put on the uniform of this country deserves our respect, our salute, our gratitude, and thanks. And Pete Buttigieg is one of those people, served in active duty combat overseas. And he gets it, as I think most Wisconsinites get it, that for a guy like J.D. Vance, who just continues to prove that he's, in a word, weird, and to say that people who didn't have kids didn't do as much while they were in the military, the people that don't have kids should have fewer votes at the polls? That people who don't have children should be taxed more? Back in Richland County, we say that just don't add up. I mean, it doesn't. It's just weird. And I think the more that Wisconsinites digest this and think about it, I believe that all of us, or the majority, will come to a decision that we just don't want a weirdo in the White House or the Vice President's office. Come on back. He's not a weirdo. He's a great guy. He's Luke Mathers. Tuesday Tangents with Lukesters is straight ahead. It's a Tuesday edition of the All Ball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
At this time of year, grain markets are at a crossroads. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday. And the reason for the back and forth in grain prices is primarily weather-induced. This is according to market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. He says the hot and dry forecast didn't come through over the weekend around the Corn Belt. This took away some expected market premium to start the week.
We've moved the warmer temperatures a little more to the west, even though things are still going to be warm, but nothing excessive, at least in the core of the Corn Belt. Add in the fact that now we've got a little bit more moisture, again, rain on the radar again this morning across the Corn Belt, and the market quickly took any weather premium that it had been building out of the marketplace yesterday. Did get a little bit of recovery towards the end of the day. Actually saw the corn market turn itself back positive. Wheat turned back positive, but then those crop ratings came out again last night after the market closed, and the sellers are back in, at least again this morning, as we're pushing back to retest those lows, or in case of the wheat market, breaking to new lows based off those ratings.
John Heinberg is a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. You can find him at totalfarmmarketing.com. We'll take a look at how the markets are moving next.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
It isn't a Wisconsin summer without the Wisconsin State Fair. Again this year, the Midwest Farm Report brings you stories from the show ring to the midway and from the food to the auctions. For full Wisconsin State Fair coverage, visit MidwestFarmReport.com or follow along on our podcast. This year's Wisconsin State Fair coverage is sponsored by Gums Farms of Endeavor. Locally owned, Gums Farms brings produce from their family farm to your family's table. Check them out at GumsFarmsWI.com.
Tuesday from Chicago, grain markets are seeing downward pressure. Cash corn is down a nickel at $3.91 and a quarter. December new crop corn is down a nickel and a quarter at $4.07 a bushel. Cash beans are trading down 19 cents at $10.35 and three quarters. November new crop soybeans are down 17 and a quarter cents, trading at $10.22 and a quarter. And cash and new crop wheat is trading down 6 and a quarter cents at $5.24 and three quarters. It's a similar story for fluid milk. The August Class 3 milk contract is trading down 9 cents at $20.41 a hundredweight. The September Class 3 milk contract is down 16 cents at $21.37. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms today, tonight, and again tomorrow into Thursday. Otherwise, it's going to be partly cloudy, warm, and very humid. Our high today in the mid to upper 80s. Tonight, 68. Tomorrow, highs in the upper 80s to near 90 with a heat index in the mid-90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 85.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Randy Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Tuesday edition of The Devil's Advocates. We'll rehash President Joe Biden's proposition for the U.S. Supreme Court. Should they recuse? Hell to the yeah.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back to the Colorado show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, July 30th, 2024. Glad to have you along. It's Tuesday. It's time for Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers. Luke, sir, how are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. How are you doing?
I am well. An early thank you. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I am out on Thursday. People for years have said, Todd, you need to have your head examined. and so on Thursday, indeed, I'm getting my head examined.
It's been examined.
Yeah. And there's something wrong.
Yeah, it's to the point where you're fixing.
Yeah, little ear procedure.
Yeah.
Hopefully it clears things up. And you've been so kind. You're going to be here. There'll be 2 hours on Thursday of Thursday Tangents with Luke.
There you go. Look forward to it.
Thank you.
It's going to be a good time. Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Absolutely, Todd. Happy to help out. And it's going to be terrific because the 2 hours that you're not on the airwaves, I have a good hunch that Vice President Kamala Harris is going to announce her VP pick.
It's exactly it. You're 100% right. And that's why
I signed up for it. I volunteered because I was like, oh, it's going to be 2 hours full of news because Todd's going to be gone and away. So therefore, the universe is going to say, hey, here's all the news.
You're 100%. I will almost lay money on it, but not quite.
Hey, you won the last bet.
I did win the last bet on the Biden emotional speech. But it's funny you should mention that because just coming across the CBS News wires headline, Kamala Harris to campaign with vice presidential pick in battleground states next week, saying Vice President Kamala Harris, the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, and her running mate will campaign together in battleground states next week, sources familiar with plans told CBS News. Harris has yet to announce her vice presidential pick, of course. She's expected to make that selection by August 7th, in order to meet the Ohio deadline requiring nominees to be certified 90 days before the election to obtain ballot access.
And currently, folks, we are 98 days out. So that is why we're coming down to the wire.
Coming down to the wire. Yep. So I appreciate Pat Kreitlow is going to be in with a live first hour tomorrow in case it happens then. And then appreciate you being here for the full 2 hours on Thursday. But I'll bet your bottom dollar that you're right. It's going to happen in the next 2 days while I'm under anesthesia.
I hope that's not the case. I hope you get to be able to just share that with your listeners.
But I appreciate you'll be here in case it does.
Exactly. So looking forward to it. And Zomers and I will make sure the show is in good hands in your absence.
You always do. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Before the break, talking about the great appearance once again by perhaps, I still believe, not maybe at the top of the list, but a dark horse candidate for VP, current Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, on The Daily Show last night with Jon Stewart, laying out this whole thing, debunking J.D. Vance, this whole theory that somehow people with children who have procreated are superior in votes and tax breaks. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark from Perdesac. Mark, thanks for holding. What say you?
Yeah, I think that I hear echoes and feel echoes here of, you know, the original sin of the United States is an institute in slavery with the three quarters thing. So you're going to give people with children more power than the rest of us. You know, giving like we gave the South, you know, in the institution of the, you know, when we instituted this country, say, well, you got slaves, that's more property, so you should have more political power. I mean, and it's ridiculous on the face of it, and maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I just think it is. Anathema, I mean, to, you know, one man, one vote thing, and that the fact that he wants to give benefit to, you know, his selected people rather than the rest of us is.
Well, and Mark, not to interrupt, but I mean, you kind of, well, let's just call it what it is. I mean, you're alluding to the three-fifths compromise, which was reached among states during the 1787 Constitutional Convention, which determined that 3 out of every 5 slaves were counted when determining a state's total population for legislative representation and taxation. It was looking at people, humans, as property.
It was, and it was trying to give more undue influence to those states that had large slave populations when those slaves did not get a chance to vote, though, either.
Right.
So it was solely to inflate the political power of who was running those states, because back when our country's founding, we also did not have direct elections. Mm-hmm. There's the whole point of the Electoral College, and the states sent delegates to then vote on presidents and senators and all of those aspects before we had direct elections.
And I don't want to equate directly what J.D. Vance is saying directly to the Three-Fifths Compromise, but it does have a lot of similarities. It's saying that certain people in America have more rights and votes and financial advantage than other people based on, in this case, J.D. Vance is saying, based on whether you procreate and have children. And he's not talking even about stepchildren or adopted children. He's talking about, are they your biological children? Which I think that most Wisconsinites will look at that and kind of go, huh?
Do sperm donors get like a ton of different electoral power then? Like, how does that work? If you're
Luke, thank you. You just found a way for me to lower my tax bracket. I'm just... go ahead to a sperm bank, right?
That's exactly what people were saying about the whole fetal personhood thing. And that if you can't do IVF or if eggs and unfertilized eggs count as people, then you just bank them up and collect Social Security for all of your eggs.
These are the weird questions that you all of a sudden have to start asking when these weird proposals come out.
Right.
That's what they are. They're weird. And so it is, I think there's a lot of aspects to it where they're like, oh, well, I didn't know about that aspect. And it's like, well, yeah, because you're not true. Like, you're just going out there and these fringe ideologies being just mainstreamed by conservative outlets like Heritage Foundation and other conservative think tanks and Republican elected officials that are mainstreaming this stuff. It's just really strange right now, Todd.
But it is strange. Here's the good news. And Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project shared this a little bit last week when he was with us, that MSNBC and the Lincoln Project were in Wisconsin. They're doing these ongoing focus groups. And they met with a small group of people in the Green Bay area. And about 2 months ago, it was about 9 out of 10 of the people in this focus group said they were firmly, you know, very likely or guaranteed to vote for Trump in November. And after Biden withdrew and Harris became the presumptive nominee, they were back in Green Bay early last week. And that was now down to 1 out of 10 saying they were very likely to vote for Trump. Not that they were going to vote for Harris necessarily, but they were more open to kind of being more that undecided column. So to your point, Luke, I think the more that we present factual information and just people are going to, they don't need to be harped at or yelled at. If given the truth, they're smart enough to figure it out.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that voters are smart enough to figure it out. And it is true that the recent revelation of President Biden making the historic decision to no longer seek re-election and the candidacy and becoming the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party and Vice President Kamala Harris, it is completely changed the lay of the land for this political cycle. And it's kind of a fresh breath air, Todd.
It is, isn't it?
Americans for a very long time have been complaining about how dragged out our electoral process is for president. Like, people were announcing, like, remember when it was Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis and I can't remember the gentleman's name from Minnesota right off, Dean Phillips.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We had all those. Like, right. It was like a year and a half ago where those people were floating. And so now we actually have something that's a little bit more in line with the rest of the world when it comes to these elections. A 100-day, 110-day window, much more common for how you conduct an election like this, and it's not so drawn out. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see over these next 100 or so days, 98 days, to see how Americans react to getting a little bit of a condensed election cycle like this one.
Don't quote me on the years, but I saw something recently, I think in 40 years or 35 years, probably 40-ish, for the first time in a presidential election, we will not have a Bush, a Clinton, or a Biden on the ticket. It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
And for all the people who said, really, it's 2024 and all we got as choices are two old white guys? No, not anymore. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go out to the coast. L.A. Tom. L.A. Tom, always a pleasure. What say you?
Hey, guys. First off, J.D. Weirdo, which I guess is what I'll call him now since he's changed his name probably 4 or 5 times himself. And also Dodger Don Old, because of the fact that he dodges the draft. He dodges probably going to dodge the debate. You know, we need to remember this. Todd, the one thing I really would like for you to do as time goes on is really point out the importance of in a state like Wisconsin of not voting for a third party and realizing that we are a binary choice in this country, and a vote for anyone other than Trump or Kamala is going to be a vote for Trump.
Yeah.
So I just really hope people realize that, because it went down to 20,000 votes last time in the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a state like California, where it's going to go blue no matter what, if somebody wants to go and, you know, do third party or whatever it might be, that's fine, because you're not going to really hurt anything.
Mm-hmm.
But in a state like Wisconsin, especially with Project 2025, and authoritarianism of the religion or of the right.
Yep.
You really, really need to think about that for your future, for your children and your grandchildren. And also, I am a white guy. I actually have solar panels on my roof of my house.
Imagine that.
I actually have gone vegan. I have actually done different things that I want to have for the salvation of this country and the salvation for this world.
Right.
I am a democracy warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a person that believes in democracy, and I don't care if I have kids or I don't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
I am someone that believes in my nephews and my nieces and their kids and grandkids and on and on.
Right.
So, and one last thing, please, everyone go watch the movie Bad Faith. On or God over country on crime.
All right, sounds good, Tom. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Got to run here. Got other people waiting. Appreciate it, LA Tom. Luke, what about this? I mean, I can tell the whole story again. I've told it a couple of times on the show, but back in 2016, when I had a small coffee shop in Madison, in a very progressive part of Madison, had a lot of people that came in and said, well, I'm going to send Hillary Clinton a message and vote for Jill Stein in particular. And Jill Stein got about 23,000 votes in 2016 in Wisconsin, and Trump won Wisconsin by about 23,000 votes. I don't want to pin it all on the people who voted for Jill Stein, but I think Tom brings up a great point that in 2024, regardless of if you don't think that Kamala Harris is the perfect candidate, there is a binary choice between autocracy and democracy, and I think we need to build this coalition.
Yeah, I believe any way that you look at it, this was the truth, and holds the truth, even though the political landscape has changed since Biden made his decision.
Mm.
When it was still Biden versus Trump, the truth was that there, in this binary vision, there was a vision for two futures. And one future full of retribution and looking back and increased political violence and what we saw under the first Trump term. And the second vision is more investment in America when it comes to our infrastructure to really save the soul of our country, which is what Biden ran for and was what he was running for re-election on, and I think still holds true with Harris at the top of the ticket as well. And so it is a binary choice. There are two visions of what the future will look like after November, and I think it's very important to know that here in Wisconsin, we may not be the biggest swing state, but we're the swing state on the smallest of the margin. We are on the razor's edge when it comes to where we are as the swing states. And I really think it is going to come down to whether or not we've got some voters that decided, like in 2020, that it was a binary choice, or if it's more like 2016, where we did have a lot more third-party voters here in Wisconsin.
Most people, not most, but a lot of people who are smarter than me at political punditry. Somebody asked me this morning, what's a political pundit? I said, we're people that get paid to say things that most people say at the bar. But we have a little bit more background to it, which is kind of true. But a lot of political pundits will tell you that Wisconsin will be won or lost presidential-wise by between 12 and 18,000 votes. That's what we're looking at this year.
I think it's less than 20.
Yeah. So we shall see. Come on back with Luke and talk a little Packers and more. Your phone calls is the All Ball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute.
Today, I'm going to bust a myth about credit scores. Going online to check your score does not hurt it or lower it. A recent Capital One survey found that 1 in 4 people thought this was true. It is not true. In fact, it's less true than ever. We used to only be able to get free copies of our credit report once a year, but now the credit bureaus have to give us a free report every week if we want one. You can go to their website, annualcreditreport.com, and you can check yours. Now, applying for a bunch of credit accounts at the same time, that can lower your score, but just checking it weekly, totally okay to do. Now, I'm not saying to go crazy and track every single up and down movement of your credit score, but it is your score, and you do have a right to know what it is. That was today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Eagle 1490 AM.
It's payday. Get that cheese. We gotta get that cheese.
Whether it's cheddar or we gotta get Gruyere. Is that way, did I say it right that time?
I think so.
All right, very good. Or maybe a little apple bacon wood smoked cheese. Whatever you got to get that cheese, Luke. Sir, Luke Mathers along with us on a Tuesday, July 30th, here. Tony Zimmerman on YouTube watching says, Jordan Love got all the cheese.
Very true.
Yeah, all of it? There's none left for the rest of us? All of it.
Well, he sure got a lot.
Welcome back to Civic Media. We're glad to have Luke Mathers along with Zomers and I on a Tuesday, 10, make it 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Luke, let's get into it. Big, I'm wearing for those on YouTube, I'm wearing one of my Packer polos today. Quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love, was holding out for what? A couple of days? Three?
Yeah. He basically said, hey, like, and I have a feeling that that just showed how close they were to the deal, because he's like, I'm just not putting pads on until we get this worked out.
Well, let's get it done so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
220-some million?
220, I believe.
Over 5 years.
Over 5 years. $55 million a year. But it's a very team-friendly deal still.
How so?
It's backloaded. So he got a huge signing bonus, which the team doesn't actually have to count against the salary cap this year. So effectively, he's not making all that much more money than he would have off of like the base salary, what counts against the salary cap. From what I've only glanced at some of the analysis of this. I haven't,
you know, Mike Clemens,
I haven't had
saying.
A chance to dive into it, so please, I could be completely wrong. I'm just going to throw the disclaimer out there.
You're right.
From my understanding, it's a very team-friendly deal. It's backloaded, so it signifies that I think Jordan's comfortable being a Green Bay Packer.
I hope he would be.
He's very happy with the signing bonus that he got for doing this extension. And if the need becomes later to kind of renegotiate some of these things, that option will be on the table. And it's also important to point out to all of our wide receivers, you better make sure that your QB is buying dinner every now and then, because the entire wide receiver room making $18 million this year, according to reporting I saw from Mike Clemens.
So
$55 million a year for just Jordan Love, $18 million for the entire wide receiver room.
We when this came out last weekend, I was with my oldest godson, Alex, and his dad, and we figured it out, and it was just per game.
It's a lot of money.
It was just, and then you go try to figure out, well, how many possessions and how, you know, per throw. Not a bad gig if you can get it.
No. And I think it's very important that we got to point out and talk about how he trusted the process. Because there are a lot of young guys looking to make it to the NFL that want to start immediately. They want to, they think they are the next big thing.
Right.
They think that they're going to take the world by storm. Jordan Love got in a situation where wasn't very ideal to him. There were a lot of Packer fans very upset that the 25th overall pick that year was used for Jordan Love. There was a lot of people that were like, no, we need to win right now.
Yeah.
And one of the things about the NFL, the worst time to draft a quarterback is when you need a quarterback.
Exactly.
Yep. And I think if Green Bay, the front office at Green Bay is showing anything, it's that they've got a pretty good eye for when it comes to this. and and they saw a talent there, and they nurtured that talent. They put him behind one of the best to play that position, one of the most talented to play that position, in Aaron Rodgers. And Jordan Love, I think, is going to have an opportunity to flourish.
I hope so. I mean, I think a lot of people are not one. People are saying, I mean, to think that the Packers could get so lucky to have lightning strike three times as far as football goes with Brett Favre and then Aaron Rodgers and now potentially Jordan Love.
Well, you know what they say.
What?
God's a Green Bay Packers fan.
Well, that's what they say.
Really easy for the big guy. Right. It's really easy for the big guy to make lightning strike three different times.
But it's really never happened. I mean, San Francisco had Joe Montana and then Steve Young.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers had Favre and then Rodgers. But you really can't point to an NFL franchise that had three Hall of Famers right in a row. And there's still a lot of time before we can call Jordan Love a Hall of Famer. But the Packers are betting, to your point, and it started Ron Wolf and then Bob Harlan and Mark Murphy and Gutekunst. There's this line, like you say, of looking forward. And that really came from from the thinking of Ron Wolf years ago.
And it's something that I think a lot of franchises have a hard time with.
Yeah, they do.
There is the immediate pressure for teams that want to get good and win now, it is, okay, we got to make the flashy move. We got to go get this recruit that we think is going to be the next best thing. And a lot of times you see that kind of burn out a little bit. So that there is something to the front office at Green Bay's method, the way that they go about these things. And I think there's a lot of young talent. The best part is the way that they've done this is there's a lot of young talent around both the offensive side of the ball, around Jordan Love, and on the defense, everybody was talking about how there was going to be years with Aaron Rodgers gone. There was going to take years to rebuild Green Bay, and really, we saw it in their postseason run last year already.
And how about Aaron Rodgers from New York now saying, hey, with a contract like that, he could still buy my house. It's still for sale in Green Bay.
And Jordan's pretty much responded saying, yeah, somebody's going to buy it, but I don't think it's going to be me. So,
Luke Mathers, what's grinding your gears?
I'm a pretty happy camper right now, Todd. We got the house painted. The house is painted. All three sides of the four-sided house. All four sides are painted. But we've got the first coat done. We're going to do little touch-ups here and there still. But now the house is blue.
So wow.
It is painted. It is
For the election season, you'll go blue.
No, just blue year-round. We're not painting it once the election's over. Sorry. No.
To do this show today live from Luke's backyard.
Full disclaimer. Yeah. And Kelsey, she took your workshopped idea, and she said, heck no. So it got canned right away.
Kelsey Clobber, you are not a cat couple, but you do have dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think your vote still counts.
I think it's just to wrap up on that note. It's such a stupid note to say that your vote doesn't count if you don't have kids.
Like, I know.
It is. Are you telling all the first responders, all the nurses, all the teachers, all the people that make Wisconsin great and the nation great, that if they don't have children, that they are less? Like, I do not understand how. Like, I understand some people like to do, you know, addition through subtraction. Yep. I don't know how that's going to work out as a voting, get out the vote campaign for these folks, Todd. It doesn't seem like a winning strategy.
It doesn't, but, you know, what do I know?
No, sit on the couch for a little while and think about it, I guess.
The J.D. Vance couch behind us. No, thank you. I will not be sitting on that couch. Luke, sir, always a pleasure. You can hear an entire 2 hours of Thursday Tangents with Luke when he fills in on the show hosting. He's going to do a great job. Thank you, Luke. We always appreciate it. Thanks for Thursday.
Always a pleasure, Todd.
Stay tuned next, talking about building coalitions on the other side. And is Todd really biased for Mayor Pete for VP? I don't think so, but maybe we'll discuss it. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Maggie's out for the week. Matt Rothschild's filling in. We're going to be talking about the incredible impact of the fire hose of news that has been the last few weeks.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.